Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord build a house, those who build labor in vain. Matthew 16:18 says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God is building something here that is quite unique, and it is not by happenstance. And only until recently you guys have begun to catch the vision. Not that the vision has not been cast out there, but now you're beginning to comprehend what God has given to me so many years ago. And I praise God for that. I praise God that this vision is coming to pass right before our eyes. And it's not because of you, and it's definitely not because of me. It's because this is what God wants for the end time church. Amen? Many of you have gone through foundations. You have studied Contagious Christian. You've gone through Roots and are involved in Kingdom Finances. And all of this is paramount to preluding you becoming a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And you may say to yourselves, well, I thought I was a disciple of Jesus Christ. No, you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that means being totally obedient to what He says to do and doing it. That's what a disciple is. And some in the church today believe that you still have options, you still can do whatever you want, and you can. But your life will not meet good success. Only until you commit yourself to Jesus Christ in totality will you begin to start seeing the benefits of what God wants to do in you, for you, and through you that will make a difference. Some of you have thought that becoming a disciple was fulfilling all this laundry list of things to do or not to do and all. But they are only the beginnings of bringing you to that place where God has brought all of us to that threshold of our lives in this committedness to Jesus Christ. And this committedness is not to streams and it's not to me. It is to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God has been building streams. He has been very methodical. He has been very resolute in what He has been doing. He has been, as Isaiah said, feeding us line upon line, precept upon priesthood. Here a little, there a little. And the reason is for our comprehension, so we can begin to line up with His whole life. And when we start at Crossbow, the first message that I preached, I recall it something like, you may think I'm radical, but I'm only preaching to get us back to the plumb line. And we're almost to that plumb line in which we stand in Jesus Christ. So what is God building? What is it that He is instructing us to do? Well, for 7 years, we have gone through a lot of things. In those 7 years, the first year was the toughest because we had a church split. And that was due to a misunderstanding of what the vision that God had wanted for us. And it was the hardest thing for me because I really began to understand that God was not going to compromise His system so that we could feel good about ourselves. He is not about our feelings, although He cares about us and He loves us. He's about His plan for this planet. And all those who want God want the same thing, or should want the same thing. We had gone from there to being in a building for 6 years. We had going to another building for another year until God has brought us here. And He wants to plant us in the community. He wants us to lay down roots so that these roots can go through our community in such a way that not only are we being proactive, but also we are growing spiritually. And in this growth, God is telling us to build a net work with other churches in Williamstown with a tremendous vision for Williamstown Day next year that will encompass a lot of things that God has said to Jesse and to other members of our fellowship have prophesied these things, that God is going to really begin to make an impact upon our lives. We have experienced many things with people who have come to Streams, and I have been very up front and said Streams is not for everybody. We've had people come who wanted just a feel-good fellowship. They just wanted to hang out and do their own thing, hear a message, and move on. We've had people come who have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, but they looked at it as entertainment. They didn't look at it as a step in which God wants us to be loud in our praise and very boisterous in our declaration, in our worship, which we have. We have really, without you guys realizing how prophetic you are becoming, not pathetic, prophetic, that God is raising up the church to open up its mouth in order to declare the wonders of God. We have also had people who came telling us they wanted relationship, but really they wanted religion. And it was too intimidating for those individuals, and they too had to leave. But what God has done here, He has shaken the base of Streams, and now what He has left, He is going to build His church here in Williamstown. God is going to build it. He is the one that's doing it. We are the ones who are going to follow His Spirit, and we are going to do His will on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said to Peter, small rock, that I will build on this rock, the planet, His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have never compromised anything that the Spirit of God has told us to do. We may not have gotten it right. We may have done partial things in it. But the main thing is, we only do that which the Holy Spirit has instructed us. And because of it, tremendous grace has been poured out upon Streams. But He has brought us to this threshold. And I was sitting over here next to Dan, and God was showing me that He opened up a door, and it was brighter in this next room than the brightness that we were standing in. And all of us were standing at this threshold. This door was tremendously large, so all of us could walk through together in unison. But we didn't go in. Why? We had to adjust our eyes to the intensity of this new glory that we're entering into. And so what's happening is God is giving us a tremendous grace in order to make adjustments that we can see that are going to be practical, yet He's the one that's going to do it. And we stand together in understanding that when Streams was given birth, I spent a lot of time on sin issues because that's where we were at. Where we are now is those sin issues should be behind us. We have the tools. We know what we're supposed to do. When we mess up, we know what we can do to get back into that right position with Jesus Christ. What God wants us to now do is, as we walk through this, He wants us to take hold of understanding that position is accompanied with power and authority. And He wants us to use it. Amen? You are a warring people. whether you understand it or not, that's who you are. When Israel was taken out of Egypt, they were a warring people. When they went through the desert, they warred against those who opposed what God wanted. It took them 40 years to get to that place, but they finally got to that place. And understand that it has been tremendously frustrating for me to see what God is doing and where He wants to take us, and me to allow Him to set the bridle into me, not to cause you guys undue distress. And that's all to His glory. But those times of dealing with the sin issues are past. The times that are coming is now to learn your weapons of your warfare, learn about your enemy, learn that this church is now going to become more and more proactive in dealing with spiritual matters and unspiritual people to make them spiritual while preaching the gospel to reconcile themselves unto God. That is our message. But how we do it is equally as important as how we say it. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3, please. God is building something here. And I don't know about you, but within my spirit, it's like I'm saying to God, finally, we've got to this place. We haven't entered in yet, but we've got to this place, finally. And I am excited about what God wants to do. 1 Corinthians 3, starting verse 8, and we'll read to verse 17. This is Paul the Apostle. He says, "He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I've laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifested, for the day will disclose it." That day, he's talking about the day of judgment. "Because it will be revealed by fire, and that fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through the fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." The foundation has been laid. The foundation in Jesus Christ has been laid for Streams, of which I am turning over that responsibility to some of our leaders. They are discipling, and they are building a sure foundation into other people's lives. That's the truth. And this warning, and I've warned each and every one that does a discipleship to be careful in what you build and how you build. Because the test of what I put into you will be tested by what's put into them. What God has given to me, I have given to you guys. We have not deviated from the plan. The plan is now expanding. Those who want Jesus are going to understand that Jesus has a requirement for disciples. And that requirement is, first, you've got to know your basics. We don't send kids to college until they know their basics, correct? And we don't send them off to war until they go through basic training. And so what we have to understand that we are in a very unique position, whether it's headbutting the door or going face first into the floor. We are in a unique position. But God is building a church that is radical. You see, this church is radical because the King is radical. Jesus Christ is radical. He is radical because he dealt with religious sectarianism, and it caused people to either wake up or to stumble. Your radicalness for Jesus Christ is either going to do one of two things. It's going to cause people to finally wake up or cause them to stumble. And I'm not going to apologize for that. Jesus dealt with Jezebel spirits. He dealt with religious spirits. He dealt with everything that is common to man, including sin. He never sinned. Never sinned. And so what he's showing us is that for the born-again believer, we now are endowed with power to never sin. And if we do, we have an advocate with the Father who's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness by his blood. Amen? That doesn't give us a license to continue in our immaturity and continue to sin. It doesn't give us a license to propagate and tell everyone I'm a Christian, but I go and get drunk. That just shows your immaturity. It just shows that you're very carnal. And understand that God is not mocked. What you sow, you will reap. And we're seeing that becoming more and more definitive in the radicalness of Jesus Christ in his church. There is a difference that people see in you and in streams. Last week, in talking with James, he saw a difference. He questioned. He had a lot of good questions. And God had a lot of great answers. That every question that he asked, it precipitated a new train of thought. And that's glory unto you guys and unto God, because he sees the reality of Jesus Christ in your lives. And people want what you have. They want it. They don't want religion. They want a life that is set free in Jesus Christ, and you will demonstrate that to them. Now understand that as this crop continues to grow, that's being poured out, I have spent time in the Word. I have dug out these nuggets from my own life and have made those nuggets my own. I have given them as seed to you. This is what Paul was saying. One plants, gives that seed. Another waters, and that watering can either be through continued discipleship or prayer or whatever. But there was an intimacy that was developed in the relationship to keep everybody moving in the same direction. And we have that. We have now graduated from a system of believing that you know what, this is all the pastor says, and this is what's going on, to the point of you guys are saying the same thing. And I no longer am saying the same thing. I'm saying the next thing. Have you realized that? You have grown to a place of understanding that there is truth, and your lives are reflecting that truth because you are lining up with God. You are coming to that plumb line in your lives. And people who want these feel-good messages and all don't understand what the Church of Jesus Christ is about. We are about taking the planet for Jesus Christ. We have a world vision, and that world vision is to go and compel them to come wherever God sends us. It is tearing down everything that opposes itself to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, radically loving people through that. And I've been accused that I have not loved you guys, but the truth of it is, I have loved you as a father loves his children, preparing you to this point to understand that there is a depth in Jesus Christ that you are entering into that requires much more of you than you ever believed. And when I said to you that it was going to cost you everything that you have and everything that you are, you truly didn't understand what that meant. You were nodding your head, yeah, yeah. But the truth of that reality is now becoming manifested in our lives, in that streams is going to impact our community. You guys have now taken on a vision to understand it. You know what? I need to be more proactive in this community. I need to have FaceTime out there and let people see us. You know, and Irene's done a really good job. Even today, she served at the Soapbox Derby, and I'm pretty sure that people were looking at her saying, what are you doing here? Why aren't you at church? She was our representative of the church, and I was praying for her. When Nolan and Dan walked in, I was praying that God would use her in a way to set in motion some more conversation. We have gone to a place of individual to family mindset. We are the family of God. We are the kingdom of God. And we are learning to radically love each other and radically hate each other's sin enough to confront, speak, and pray and continue to walk with each other. See, it isn't about us picking at each other's problems. It's about lifting them up, covering them in love, and showing them the way to life. That's what it's about. And people want life, but they don't want the accountability of life. They want all the perks and privileges. They don't want the responsibility. And Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. Whether that much is a little bit or a lot, He will require something of you. And that requirement is what you're building into your lives. Because He tells us succinctly that He's building a church individually, collectively, and my work that's going to be tested, I am responsible for. You are responsible for your work. And so the warning comes out to build with the good things, the precious things. I have dug out the gold, the silver, the precious gems. Why? Because first, it's hard to find it. It takes hard work to mine it out. And then there's a refining process that once it's dug out, to get the impurities out of your lives. And Jesus Christ is doing that even as we speak. We are growing up into holiness. We have now been positioned in righteousness, but we're growing in holiness. That doesn't mean we can't go to a ball game and enjoy it. It doesn't mean we can't go out dancing and enjoying it. It doesn't mean that we can't go to a bar or a pub or whatever and have a beer. It means we don't get sloppy. We don't lose our self-control in this. We don't get that six-pack of courage to tell everybody what we think, and really what we think doesn't amount to a hill of beans, except it's trying to justify our position. We're about Father's business. We're about rejoicing and enjoying that which God has given us the freedom to, yet not sinning in it. Amen? We have overcome a Jezebel spirit. And that Jezebel spirit has other spirits in there of fear and intimidation, manipulation, control. And it's a testimony to what God is doing. Because if it wasn't for His spirit growing in you, making your spirit strong, you would not have been able to withstand that. Whether it's on your job, whether it's in your families, whether it's in your relationship with your immediate family or other ends of your family. God is building you. He is strengthening you. He is making you into that warring church that is unashamed of the gospel, because we know that it is the power unto salvation, but it's also what He is maturing us to become. A glorious, powerful church worldwide. You're no longer wondering about what God is doing, because you are aware of what God is doing. Spirits of fear and dread and doubt no longer fill your minds. You're looking with anticipation and hope to the future. What is it that God is saying to you, and where is it that He wants to take you? You know, a life that is not filled with love and hope is filled with everything of the world. It's filled with selfishness and self-centeredness. It is not concerned about anybody else and what's going on in their lives. It's only about what's good for me. And Jesus said, if you don't take up your cross and die to yourself, you're not worthy of His kingdom. We know this, and we know we're in hot pursuit of what God is doing. And He is about to birth something really wonderful for us. Each one of us has the same goal in life, and that is to reach our neighbors, our family, friends, whoever, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understand, we may be rejected because of it. Jesus will not reject you. Jesus has told us that if we love brother, sister, mother, father more than Him, we're not worthy of Him. You see, it's either God or nothing. And most people want to have God and. You fill in the blank. But it's either God or nothing. Because if we declare that Jesus Christ is our life and our hope in our way and being, then we have life. But when we use the things of the world as our own possessions and a means to satisfy us, we find that we become more dissatisfied in those things. It's only when we're doing the will of God, we're learning to be like God. Now we're going to learn how to do the things of God, how to cast out demons, how to prophesy properly, how to use our gifts and talents for the edifying of the church, how to direct people with the Word of God in seeing those things that they don't see and speaking them as though they are. You see, Jesus told us we are God's. Jesus said this. In Psalms it says you are God's. Satan says you can be like God. But God says, you are in My image. We don't have to be like God. We are God's. We are. And I'm not, I don't want that to sound like we're this cult. We can only do those things because God dwells in us. He dwells in us. Without God, we can do nothing. But with Him, there's nothing we can't do. There's nothing impossible to him who believes. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as God begins to work in your life to create more holiness, those areas of compromise are no longer going to affect you. Why? Because you are bent on satisfying the King and what He wants. Those sin issues become irrelevant to us because it doesn't matter. We see how far that has taken away from us. And as we get closer and closer to God, whether it's through Scripture, whether it's through the activity that He has told us to do, if it's just in our prayer closets or just our praise and worship, we are becoming more and more drawn to Him and focused like Him to become like Him. When Jesus said that, you know, this is the signs that you are My disciples, here, they shall speak in other tongues. They shall cast out demons. They shall raise the dead. They shall heal the sick. This is why I'm saying, you're disciples now. You weren't disciples before because you didn't pray. Did you raise anybody from the dead? Did you speak in other tongues before Jesus Christ? Did you heal the sick? Did you drink any poison and still live? I'm speaking about things that are coming for us that the enemy would want to lay at our doorstep and try to trip us up. Like Jesus, I have built the foundation on streams with gold and silver and precious things. Why? Because I have eternity focused. As you guys begin to take up your positions, as pillars are being raised up within the church, as the strength of character that comes in and exercised through roots, you see, the character of a person is not determined by the anointing. The character of a person determines whether they're able to carry the anointing. Got it? I have a tremendous anointing. And I look at myself, and I was saying this with Dan yesterday about the calling and the anointing. I am humbled by it. And he gently reminded me of several years ago when he started calling me in that anointing. Well, I wasn't ready for that. But that anointing, I'm receiving more and more, because that's really the true call of God in my life, is to build churches. Is to build into people's lives, to love them with the love of God. And that is not to let them stay in their mess. It's not to love them right or wrong. Love doesn't allow people to stay where they are. Love picks them up, takes them out, and works with them so they don't go back into it. And Nolan knows, you know, there's been many times through the years that he's got him booted. Would you call that love? It's love, because you know what? I saw something greater in this young man of God. I see great things in all of you that God has given. And I will use the hammer, the chisel, the feather. I will use whatever means that God gives me so that the person He has created you to be in these end days comes forth. God is not building a church like everybody else's church. He's building His church. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. To continue with the improprieties of our sin is to destroy the temple. And the Word of God says He will destroy us if we destroy the temple. And part of destroying the temple is required by the company that we keep. Part of the problem is compromising the value system that God says we should have at all cost. Destroying the temple is allowing others to dictate to us how we should act, how we should speak, how we should think. That is slavery and bondage. That is not freedom. We are about to embark in crossing this threshold together. You are going to hear more and more radical things that are going to challenge you. You're going to see the Scriptures in a different light. You're going to have your understanding expanded. Why? Because you're growing up. You're growing up to be like Jesus. Have I arrived to the fullness of this No, I have not. But I know this thing. I am working on areas in my life to get rid of the defilement so that I may have more of Christ. I am working in areas to expand my mind so I may be able to comprehend the depth and the breadth and the width of His love for us. I'm having my heart expanded so that I may be able to love Him in the fullness, so that I may be able to love you fully. We need to work in unison with the Holy Spirit to pull down those things. We need to confront those who have evil intent to defile us with improprieties and compromise. We need to rebuke those who call on the name of Jesus Christ and live contrary. Because when they made an oath, they made an oath to Him, not to me. And He's calling in to everyone that church as usual is not going to be church as usual. There are plenty of places of compromise, including within the church, but it will not be here at Streams. It will not. You will be brought into account. You will be challenged. You will not be happy with me. It is. I'm a big boy. I've had people yell at me. I've had my wife and kids mad at me. But I've not compromised myself. I have listened. I have searched the Scriptures. I have repented. It's time for all of us, as Paul says, to forsake that sin that so easily besets us and press on to that high calling in Jesus Christ. It's time for us, whether we're 16 years of age or 60 years of age, there is more of God, and we will have all eternity to search the richness of God, to get to know Him, because in the 30-some years I've been walking with God, the one thing I have learned, that when I think I've come to the end of Him, a new door opens up. We're at that new door, church. What I have poured into you guys, I have poured in because I love God, and I love to see what He's doing in your lives. And you know what? He's blessing us. And for the first time, I can honestly say that you are disciples. You are disciples of Jesus Christ because you want the same thing that I want. And that is to bask in His beauty, to live a life that is fulfilling but yet simple. And you want to win people to Jesus Christ. But not through the same old religion, not through the same programs, not through the same means in which God has worked in the past. This church that God is going to build is going to be multi-ethnical. It's going to be multicultural. It's going to expand through all the social, economical ladders that are there. Every rung is going to be represented within us. You guys are going to do the heavy work as far as the physical stuff. While I fulfill Acts 6, seeking God, studying the Word, and begin to raise the church, the pillars of the church, so that the canopy can be set, the canopy of grace can be set upon Streams. It's time for us to stand for Jesus Christ as one people. It's time for us to pursue Him as one people. Not individually, but as one people. The church of Williamstown is going to be built. Streams is but a small microcosm of the church of Williamstown, but the church of Williamstown is going to be built. Not all the churches in Williamstown are going to be a part of this, to my sadness. It's time to pursue Him with all our hearts. It's time to pursue Him and give Him everything that we have. Our homes, our very lives, our children. It's like the founding fathers. They committed their wealth and their lives to the founding of this great nation that we live in. God is asking for the same thing. To establish His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. The risks are great. I am not going to tell you that they are not. Your risk and my risk are going to be equal because we're risking everything. But I can tell you that your reward and my reward are the same. They are eternal. And that's what Streams is about, is the eternal reward that when we stand before Him together, He will say, well done, Streams. Well done, Daniel. Well done, Nick. Well done. Well done, Beckaboo. Because we gave it our all. And isn't that worth living, to give our all? Because everything less than our all is not good enough. Amen? Father, I thank You that as we set forth from this point forward, God, again, I declare our dependence upon You. We are Your temple, God, individually and collectively, God, and we must pay attention on what we are building into our lives. To throw away the things that are non-consequential to us, God, and put those things that have eternal consequences into our lives, God. God, as You bless us, help us to bless others, Lord. Help us to be bold as lions to declare the marvel of You, God. Help us, God, to instill this fearless spirit, this warring spirit, God, against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, against vain imaginations, God, against everything that exalts itself, including pride and esteeming, God, men more than You. God, we come against that in Jesus' name, God. God, allow Your love, Your hope, Your vision for us, God, to propel us into walking into the next phase of this vision You have given to Streams. Help us to become disciples, Lord, of other disciples. Help us, God, to make a difference within our families and in our communities, Lord God. Help us, God, to reach those who normally would not be reached. Help us to love those who don't know what true love is. Help us to shine in the darkness of this world, God. Help us to reflect You, Jesus. For what's at stake is Your very reputation. God, may You be exalted forever and ever. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.